The World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello and welcome back to the William Hill Daily World Cup Podcast. We're going to look at Day 9's games. That's Italy against Costa Rica, Switzerland against France and Honduras take on Ecuador. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Dave Kellner. We'll also be hearing from Lee Phelps and Robbie Savage over in Brazil as well. David, how are you, sir?
Not good. No. Not good. Last night was very disappointing. I presumed the World Cup Daily Podcast would cease to exist once England were big outsiders to get through the group. But here we are again, and it continues, doesn't it?
It does.
It continues. Well, the show must go on.
And not that I care anymore.
No, and I felt the same way after last night's performance, which I thought was dismal. Everyone was praising England following their 2-1 loss against Italy. I thought that Hodgson got it wrong tactically and with the personnel last night, and it was a disappointing performance. I think we regressed from game day one to game day two, and there's very little else to say. I think Jagielka was particularly poor. Glenn Johnson, albeit set up Rooney's goal, I thought he was at fault for the first, and Steven Gerrard limped around the field hopelessly in that second half, and should have been substituted. And it's Hodgson's failure to make those big decisions. I think it proved costly in the end. And barring a miracle, but it's only a 7-1 shot or 5-1 shot or whatever it is for England to get through. I think this is the end of the road for the England side, and it's another big tournament failure, and it's difficult to stomach as an England fan.
Yeah, I didn't want to do this podcast today. I was trying to get out of it. Not really. I've got to be more professional than that.
Obviously.
Of course. No, it is incredibly disappointing.
I think the way it is with the England setup now, you get the older you get, the more quickly you get over these disappointments because they happen so often. So I think as the tournament progresses, I think we'll be re-energised in a couple of days' time, and looking forward to some great football, because it's been a fantastic, superb World Cup so far. But as England fans, it's difficult to take.
Yeah. What did Robbie? Well, let's see what Robbie made of England's performance last night.
Okay.
Huge disappointment, really. Suarez, incredible. Difference was Suarez took the chances. Rooney didn't. Rooney had, you know, scored one, but the chance on his left foot, should have scored that. His header, possibly. And defensively, England, shambolic at times. Miscommunication, you know, the centre-half was going to go for the header. Gerrard went for the challenge. Gerrard flicked it on, but you know, you can't get caught square like that. You can see Suarez running. Miscommunication, terrible defending, as England have all tournaments. So I think now it's going to be really hard for him. Costa Rica draw tomorrow. England are out. So I said before, and I say it again, England would not progress from the World Cup group. Some people thought, you know, I was a bit mad, but I didn't think they had the quality defensively. Attacking, they've been okay, but again, final third. The final ball into the box has been really poor. So, no surprise to me, England are going to go out, I believe. But it's just disappointing, you know. You travel around Brazil, you're enjoying the World Cup, you know, from the high of Australia's Tim Cahill's goal, which I commentated on. It's an amazing experience. I'm a proud Welshman, but I want to see England do well in a tournament. And it's a disappointment. You know, England will be flat now. The pubs will be flat. You know, just for my little boys, and they're flat. So, disappointed, but onwards and upwards.
Well, hopefully onwards and upwards. Where is the future for England? I mean, is it ridiculous to expect Italy to beat Costa Rica today and then hopefully do England a favour and beat Uruguay? I mean, that's the problem for me. I think they will beat Costa Rica, but Uruguay and Italy could just play out a draw in that last game, and that's a real problem, isn't it?
They could. that is a possibility, albeit it's risky, isn't it, for Uruguay to want to play out a draw in that last game and assume England are going to beat Costa Rica,
yeah.
Given what we've seen in this championship so far. That is a possibility. Games kick off at the same time in that final round of group matches. So ideally, England, if they've got to win by two, which is probably in all likelihood what they'll have to do to go through, assuming that Italy can get results against Costa Rica and Uruguay, they'll want to score as late on as possible in that match, twice as late on as possible, because if news filters through that England are ahead by a couple, possibly, and Italy can just settle for that draw against Uruguay, they'll probably do so. It's not impossible. It's not an impossibility to think that Italy can win their remaining two matches, but England aren't certainties to beat Costa Rica by any stretch of the imagination, given what we've seen in this tournament so far. I think people got caught up with that performance against Italy and overestimated their chance last night. They were really well backed. The betting market always frames what chance of the outcome. Always look at that. Even for someone that's not interested in betting, if you want to know England's chances of progressing, you look at the odds, don't you? You look at the market, because bookmakers don't get things wrong very often. And last night, England were backed as if defeat was out of the question against Uruguay, as if even a draw was out of the question. They were punted in from 6-4 to even money. It was I know I'm speaking in hindsight here, and people will be calling me an after-timing muppet, but in hindsight, it was crazy they were going off that short against Uruguay. I did say it last night, not on any medium where it can be saved or recorded, but I did mention it, and I thought it was a mad price on England. People read too much into that performance against Italy. He didn't change things. What maddens me most about this is every man and his dog was saying how good they were against Italy. Hodgson was saying how well they played against Italy. He played the same 11 players. Why did he change the formation? If they played so well against Italy in that first game, why did he bow down to the public and move Rooney inside to his favoured number 10 slot? If they played so well in that game, why didn't he stick with the same team with the same formation and play Sterling in behind Sturridge?
I've got a theory on that.
Go on.
Yeah. Sterling played very well in that first game, almost because nobody expected him to play there. So the whole Italy game plan would have had to change. That's why I think he got a bit of freedom. Rooney was, the left-hand side for England was caught out on numerous occasions, and we couldn't afford to do that again. So you put Rooney back in the middle, where he's going to be a better player. We saw last night, he played better last night. He missed a couple of chances, but he was there to miss them. And the only disappointing thing was that Sterling couldn't replicate his performance back on the left.
I agree with
that. Or on the right, sorry. So I think that's why it changed. I don't think it was necessarily down to pressure on Hodgson to change it. I think it was changed because it was out of necessity, really.
Do you think Hodgson, tactically, having set up the way he did against Italy, should have changed either personnel or formation for a game against a different country, rather than sticking with exactly the same formation?
Well, it's square pegs in round holes, isn't it? I think that's the formation that England have to play in a respect, because that's the players we've got. And to then change it to a different kind of formation, one that we haven't played. I mean, we've played with the formation we played against Italy quite often. And I think to then change it all of a sudden for the Uruguay game, I think that would cause more problems than keeping it the same.
A bit of a slip up, not taking Gerrard off in that second half. I was astonished when he didn't come off, because he looked legless. He looked out on his feet in that game. And it was as if reputation mattered more than the actual performance on the night,
in my opinion.
Who'd
you put on in his
place? I'd have put Barkley on for Gerrard and played Henderson as your sitting man at that point. That's what I'd have done. I thought it almost felt like management by numbers. Take off the player you expect to take off after 60 minutes, bring on...
But Sterling was struggling when he took him off.
Yeah, but bring on Barkley, then... It gets to 70 minutes and suddenly nothing's changed. Let's take off Welbeck. I think he was tactically outmaneuvered last night. Uruguay made massive changes from their opening game against Costa Rica, a game in which they obviously performed badly and lost. But maybe we're reading too much into it, and it was just Luis Suarez was the deciding factor on the night.
I think he probably pretty even barring Suarez, a genius.
Genius. He played obviously very well, Suarez, but his two goals were avoidable. Caught out defensively for the first. Baines didn't come round quickly enough. I thought Baines has been poor in both matches. Mm. Didn't move round into a defensive covering position quickly enough. Caught out by the same flighted ball in the first match as the second match. It was almost a replica, wasn't it? It's carbon copy. And Jagielka stepped up when he didn't need to step up for the second goal. And Cahill didn't cover quickly enough. Cahill's got one job to do there, and that's make sure you stay with Luis Suarez. Suarez ran off him, and he expected the ball to come through. Cahill expected the ball to be cleared. Suarez got the jump. 2-1, and that's game over. It's frustrating because we see this at every single major tournament with England. In hindsight, I think that Hodgson would have patched things up with John Terry, got him in that centre-back partnership with Cahill, and taken Ashley Cole instead of Leighton Baines. But hindsight's a wonderful thing.
It is, and unfortunately we don't have the benefit of that when the match occurs. We can't talk about England for too much longer.
Let's move on.
We're done with that.
I think so.
And it's got an England theme to the first game anyway, because Costa Rica take on Italy, and we need.
Let's not talk about England anymore. Yeah. Now let's start talking about England again.
Italy need to beat Costa Rica for England to stay in the World Cup, and for once it's great because we can cheer on Pirlo rather than him be the scourge of England. 8-15 for Italy to win, the draw 14-5, and Costa Rica are 6-1. We'll get your thoughts in a moment, David, but let's start with Robbie's thoughts on Italy against Costa Rica.
A point for both teams, that means England go out. I think Italy will win the game. Costa Rica, that result has thrown the whole group upside down, that win against Uruguay. It's a good job they did, really, because England would have been out now. But looking forward, Costa Rica, watching them play, Campbell up front. But I don't think they can get a goal against this well-organised, well-drilled Italian defence. Buffon will be back probably. Bazzagli probably past fit. So I don't think Italy will lose the game. I think they'll win it, and I think they'll win it to nil.
Robbie going for Italy to win to nil. Then do you agree with that, Dave?
No, not really. I think people in that first match thought that Costa Rica... That was obviously a huge shot, Costa Rica's win over Uruguay 3-1. But Italy have a tendency to concede. I'm not convinced that defensively they are that strong. I think Costa Rica, albeit Uruguay, maybe... I don't know if you can say they suffered from complacency in that first game, because it's the first game of a World Cup. I don't think any team's complacent, but maybe they underestimated Costa Rica in that first match. Costa Rica have some, I think, decent attacking talent. Joel Campbell's making a name for himself, obviously on loan from Arsenal to Olympiacos. He'll maybe be back at Arsenal next year, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
It seems weird, doesn't it, that you've got a guy that's now scored in a World Cup who wasn't ahead of Nicholas Bentner in the pecking order. So I think Cristiano Bolanos and Brian Ruiz will create for Joel Campbell. I see both teams scoring in this game. I'm quite surprised that Robbie thinks Italy are good enough defensively. I think Italy will have a lot of possession, but Costa Rica are good enough to score in this match, in my opinion. Italy concede a lot of goals in international football, which is maybe going against conventional wisdom. You think of Italy sides as being strong defensively. This Italy side keeps the ball very well, but are susceptible at the back. That's my opinion anyway. I think they might change things up a little bit. Ignacio Barty's back, and Mattia De Sciglio might play as well. I thought Matteo Darmian was good in that first match against England, though, so maybe he'll stick with him at right back. But Cesar Prandelli's got a few decisions to make here. I expect Costa Rica to... I think Italy are short in the betting again, Mark. The first week punters had it all their own way. Mm. They got everything, basically. They were rich beyond belief in that first week.
Yeah.
But as this World Cup heats up and goes on, the sparring stops and we're getting into the meat of the action. These are the middle rounds right now. And the bookmakers have landed a few jabs in recent days, and I think they could get another one here. Things don't just go badly for England. They go terribly. And Costa Rica get a point against Italy, in my opinion. I think this one finishes 1-1, which isn't quite a mutually beneficial result because neither side are definitively through if it finishes 1-1. It sets it up for a fun final round of matches, albeit not for England,
yeah,
who will be out. But I see this one ending 1-1, in my opinion. I think this one ends in a draw.
I hope you're wrong, David. I hope you are. Both teams to score is even money. You mentioned that you think both teams will get on the score sheet.
I think that's a good bet. I like that even money a lot for both teams to score. People writing off Costa Rica, given their poor form in friendlies, which they were dismal in friendlies, weren't they? Drew with Ireland and got beat by Japan 3-1, I think it was. But scored in those games as well. They've not kept a clean sheet in their last 13 matches, Costa Rica, so Italy should score in this game without a doubt. And Italy did keep the ball very well against England. That midfield trio of Daniel De Rossi, Marco Verratti, and of course Andrea Pirlo, incredible workers with the ball, not as strong without the ball. So I think Costa Rica can affect this game because they've got pacey individuals. And Joel Campbell was a big danger in that first match. He's such a good mover, Joel Campbell. I think he can trouble Paletta and Bazzagli at the back. So I'm going with a 1-1 draw here.
Okay.
Against the odds.
1-1 draw, 7-1. Joel Campbell to get on the score sheet. If you think he'll cause that many problems, 13-5 to score any time. A draw on both teams to score is 15-4, and simply the draw on the match is priced about 14-5. And I will just mention the headline offers: Joel Campbell to score and Costa Rica to win. If you fancy another upset, 10-1, and Mario Balotelli to score and Italy to win, 6-4. When you collect your money, look out for Mario Balotelli heading to Buckingham Palace because he wants to kiss off the Queen. Should he score the goal?
I almost tweeted to say he can have his way with any of our women. He can have his way with any of our women as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. If he gets England through to the next stage of the competition, take your pick of any dame, Mario. You can have Judi Dench, Helen Mirren, whichever one you want.
Yeah. There you go. If that's not an incentive, Mario, I don't know what it is. And he's obviously listening to this podcast. Anyway, let's move on to the second game of the evening. This is Switzerland taking on France. This is in Group E, and it's an 8 o'clock kickoff. Switzerland are 7-2. The draw, 12-5, and France, 5-6. France were pretty impressive in their opening game, and Karim Benzema caught the eye in that game as well, in front of goal. Switzerland, they got a late winner, didn't they, to go through, and as we did last time, we'll start with Robbie again, and we'll get his thoughts on this game.
I've watched both teams. France, Benzema was sensational in that opening game. Okay, against Honduras, who were very, very physical in their approach, but France, you know, coped with it well. Against the Switzerland side, who I thought were poor for large amounts of that win. Obviously, that last kick of the game winner, 2-1 win. I just think France got a bit more quality. You know, Switzerland sixth or seventh in the world. I can't see that. I don't know how that's possible, but they are. So I think that France will win the game. I think they'll win 2-0. I think Benzema to get a goal. And the thing, this World Cup, all the top players scoring goals. No question about it. The top players are performing. I think Benzema to get a goal, France to win 2-0.
Okay, all the top players scoring goals. He's turned into Harry Redknapp. But France were impressive, and Robbie thinks they'll win 2-0 here. Do you agree with this one?
Yes, more so than his first prediction. I think France win this game. I think France are a decent bet. The shade of odds on?
Yeah, 5-6.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty decent bet, actually. France have impressed me as much as any team in the competition so far, barring Chile. I think Chile have been the best team in the World Cup 2014 so far. But France, really impressive in that opening game. I thought they were Strong going forward, strong defensively as well. Benzema, as Robbie's just mentioned, got on the score sheet twice. I think he could score again here, Benzema. What is he to score any time? He's a really streaky striker, Benzema. He goes through spells where he doesn't look as if he can hit a cow's arse with a banjo. But then he'll pop up and score, have a real purple patch and get 5 in 5.
13 to 10 to score any time.
That's a good price. That looks better than France to win the game to me at 5 to 6. I'd play Benzema to score. Penalty taker, obviously. I think the good thing about Benzema here is he's playing, this is going to sound ridiculous, but he's playing in the right position against this Switzerland side because they're weakest at centre-half. Johan Giroud and Steve Von Bergen are the weak links in that defence. I think their full-backs are very strong. I think Stefan Lichtsteiner and Ricardo Rodriguez will really push Griezmann and Valbuena back and put pressure on Ever and Debuchy as well. They're good at full-back, central defence, very weak. Benzema can definitely expose that weakness because he's so strong and physical. And he's a fantastic finisher, isn't he? He's a fantastic finisher, Benzema. Just someone that England need, really.
And the rest of the squad.
Yeah, I think they'd like a lot of their players because that midfield three of Paul Pogba, Blaise Matuidi and Johan Cabaye, all very good on the ball. And Matuidi and Pogba, very physical as well. Pogba got a little bit frustrated in that in that first game.
Lucky not to get sent off.
Yeah, he was very lucky not to be sent off. I think it was a red card, and I was surprised to see him still on the pitch. Same with Godin last night. Could have all been so different, Mark.
It should have all been so different.
Yeah. So I reckon Switzerland are a solid side. I think they're set up defensively. They'll try and frustrate France in this game. But I like what Didier Deschamps doing with this French team. Seems to be keeping pretty much everyone happy, apart from Olivier Giroud, who's come out and spoken about his disappointment at not being in that first team for the first match. Olivier Giroud should know his place, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And that's on the bench at international level. Karim Benzema, definitely the man to start with in that number 9 role. I think he's doing the right thing in playing Griezmann and Valbuena off him. That midfield three's fantastic. They've got a terrific centre-back partnership as well. I'm believing in this French side. Really am. Mamadou Sakho, who albeit isn't fantastic at club level, seems to perform with a different type of verve at international level. And I think Rafa Varane is one of the best young international centre-backs in world football. Jose Mourinho said that, so who am I? Who am I to dispute it? Benzema to score at 13-10 looks a cracking bet here. Okay. Giroud and Von Bergen, suspect. So I'll go with Benzema to score as my best bet in this game at 13-10.
Okay. Anybody who fancies France to win and Benzema to score, you can also get 2-1 on that eventuality in the headline offers. So
that's nice. Yeah. That's nice. What do you think here?
I think France win. I think they win fairly comfortably. I was impressed with the way they moved the ball. Like you said, their midfield is so strong with Kabay just holding in there, and you got Matuidi and Pogba both full of running and full of strength. And then the forward movement's just brilliant between Griezmann and Valbuena, and then you got Benzema, who worked hard, played the ball at the right time, took a shot at the right time. He put in a pretty perfect centre-forward performance in the first game, and if he replicates that, I see France winning 2-0 or something, 2-3-0.
I don't envisage this Switzerland team having enough going forward to trouble that France defence, if I'm being honest. I think that team looks so solid. Patrice Evra played really well in that game. I thought his back legs had gone, to be honest, Patrice Evra, and I'd be surprised if, I don't know what's happened with that Manchester United situation in the off-season yet. I don't know whether his contract's been renewed. I'm getting into American football mode. We're only like 3 months away from the American football.
And the World Cup doesn't matter anymore.
Anymore, precisely. And Mathieu Debuchy, I think he's the best Newcastle have got.
Yeah.
I think he's really good. Yeah. Since Johan Cabaye left, obviously. And you don't see Josip Dermić or Admir Mehmedi I don't see those players troubling France. I think France win this game, but I marginally prefer Benzema to score at 13-10 than France to win at 5-6, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, on to the third game of the evening, Honduras against Ecuador. This is at 11 p.m. It's probably good that it's at 11 p.m. because it needs to be after the watershed with some of the tackles we've seen from the Honduran players so far. I would expect plenty of physical challenges, plenty of bookings, and I think Robbie is thinking along the same kind of lines.
In that Ecuador friendly that Honduras played, 2-2 draw it was a few months ago, there were plenty of cards in that as well. Do you expect the same thing here, Robbie?
I think over in the cards is an unbelievable bet. I thought the Honduras side were very physical and at times over aggressive. You know, Palacios, what was he doing? I do not know. So you've got to go definitely over on the cards. I probably think 6 yellows and possibly a red. So how many points that accumulates to? I think Ecuador will win the game. Looking at the Honduras side, Naka on the wing was not too bad. The Anderlecht youngster, he could cause problems, but they got to get the ball in the box to Costly and Benson. But I just can't see them winning the game. I'm going to go with Ecuador. Narrow victory, but 1-0.
Is the cards market something that you'd be looking at here, DK?
I'd imagine that the bookmakers' hills have reacted after that first game.
Well, unders and overs on the cards. Under 25 is 100 to 30. 24 to 45 points is 17 to 10. And over 45 points is odds on 19 to 20.
Yeah, you can see over. Yeah, I could see over 45 points easily. First of all, Wilson Palacios. Clown-like behaviour.
Yeah.
Really is. You get to a World Cup, you're representing your country, and then you get suspended for the second game with a stupid tackle. He should be hung, drawn and quartered as far as I'm concerned, Wilson Palacios. So he's not there, and that's big, isn't it, for Honduras, a team with limited ability and limited personnel to call upon. And one of their stalwarts, one of their talismen, yep, is out for this game, so I think that's a big factor. But don't rate Ecuador either. This could be 0-0. I think. I mean, a lot of respected pundits think that with these two teams being in the position they're in, they'll both have to attack and go for it. I don't know if they're good enough. I don't know if these two sides are strong enough. Honduras did draw with Ecuador, didn't they, in a friendly in Houston recently, 2-2. That leads you to believe there could be goals in this game. Having watched Ecuador play in that opening match against Switzerland, I'm not convinced they should be as short. What price are they?
I'll give you the match.
It's very short, isn't it?
Honduras 9-2, draw 13-5, Ecuador 4-6.
4-6. I want no part of that. I want no part of that at 4-6. I think I'd play the draw here.
Fair enough. The draw. I'm just trying.
I just don't know what to say about this game. It's just it's tough to make any positive recommendation because one, I've not seen enough of these two teams in the past, and two, I've watched both opening matches and not been impressed with any aspect of their game really. I suppose Honduras' strength is that Roger Espinoza in midfield on the left-hand side is a good player, and he's got decent technique. He looks like a tricky player to me, and he can play in a variety of positions. So maybe they'll look to him as an outlet, but they're so slow defensively that Antonio Valencia could have a good game here. I think he could have a field day down the right hand side because I don't see Roger Espinoza tracking very much. I see him more as an attacking threat, so that might give him free rein to attack the guy who plays left back, Emilio Ezequeri. So he could really suffer in this game, and if he cuts inside, I can see Antonio Valencia getting on the score sheet.
Well, I like the luck of both Valencias in this side. I mean, Enner Valencia scored in the first game. He scored against England as well. I think he scored something like five in his last.
Yeah, he scored in his last three games. So yeah, he could definitely be a threat. What about both Valencias to score?
Yeah,
could be an interesting bet.
I've got an interesting bet here for you. Just in terms of a price.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you think of this. The draw. The match to be a draw.
Yes.
Under 10 corners.
Yep.
And over 6 cards. 25-1.
That's okay. I don't mind that at all. Because I don't anticipate. I can see a lot of the game being played in the middle third in this match. What's Antonio Valencia to score a goal in this game?
Antonio Valencia to score any time is 7-2.
That's not bad. He's got 18-72 for Ecuador. This is going to be an opportunity for him. I take it Enner Valencia is a lot shorter to score any time in this game.
Yeah, he is. He's Enner Valencia is 6-4.
Is he part of the headline offer?
The headline offer is no, he's not. It's Felipe Caicedo to score and Ecuador to win.
Okay,
2-1.
I think the best bet in this game is Antonio Valencia to score at 7-2.
Anytime goal scorers doubled. How about the two Valencias?
Yes,
should we try and get that?
Yep.
You talk while I find it.
Okay, 7-2 and 6-4. I think that would be probably be a good bet. Whether or not you can do it on the William Hill website is debatable. They sometimes have anytime goal scorers coupled or doubled as a market, but if you can look at that, I think both Valencias to score could be a good bet here. But as I mentioned at the top of the preview, I don't think 0-0 is beyond the realms of possibility in this game either. I don't see Honduras scoring.
Okay,
that's what I would say. I don't think they'll score Honduras in this match.
Unfortunately, they haven't put the two Valencias together.
No, that's a shame.
No.
Yeah, Ecuador have had a habit of conceding goals, but this is one of their easiest opportunities here. This is the game that I'd least like to have a bet in. Of the three games, this is the one where I've got no real strong opinion.
Okay. What will be your strongest bet, though, for this evening's football?
Benzema to score anytime, 13-10.
Okay.
Giroud and Von Bergen marking him, only one outcome.
That's a Benzema goal, hopefully, anyway. Thank you very much, Dave. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and good luck. Enjoy the World Cup matches this evening.
Thank you, sir.
So there you go, the thoughts of Dave Kellner on today's World Cup matches. Three more to come, and, well, we might see England on the plane home, metaphorically speaking. They do have a game left to play, of course. But we'll find out. We'll find out what happens this evening. Some good games to look forward to, and good luck if you're having a bet. And do join us again on the next edition of the World Cup Daily Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.